Hey everybody, I'm Andy.
And I'm John. We're the hosts of Zombie Strains, the podcast where we watch all of the zombie movies in chronological order.
It has been a wild ride so far, discovering where and when all our favorite zombie tropes originated. Things like the first cannibal zombies.
Bowery at Midnight, 1942.
The first rage zombie.
Teenage zombies, 1959.
And the first homicidal zombie.
Dr. Blood's Coffin, 1961.
If you love zombie films as much as we do, join us on Zombie Strains.
Find Zombie Strains on your podcast app of choice.
I'm your number one fan. There is nothing to worry about. You're going to be just fine. I'll take good care of you. I'm your number one fan.
Heavens to Betsy, and welcome to episode 165 of the Nomads of Fantasy podcast. My name is Brandon. I am your host, and welcome not only to the podcast, but to my house here on the farm out in the countryside. It's been snowing. There's a lot of snow. Phones are down. The roads are closed, but I am not alone in this house. I have with me Dave.
I thought you were good, Paul, but you're not. You're just another lying old dirty birdie. Annie Wilkes.
Dirty Birdie. And down the hallway, let me get the key. And all right, we're going. And we have Eric in here.
You didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car.
Yes, that would have been mine. Oh, great. So these are quotes from a movie about a big pig that lives in a house with a lady named Misery. That's kind of correct, but not really. There is a pig named Misery. But no, this is specifically we're talking about Misery, which came out in 1990 and written originally by Stephen King, based off of a book.
Sir Stephen King.
And
is he actually a sir?
No, he's not a sir. He's American.
Okay.
Give him the respect.
Could be honorary, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Stephen King, you know. But anyways, and directed by Rob Reiner, which I really ever knew. And yes, rest in peace. So what a tragic, tragic ending to that gentleman's life. And I do really like the movies that he's made. His movies, when they hit, they hit. And he's done quite the variety of movies. So if you've listened to the show, listen to previous episodes, sometimes we dedicate things. You know, we've done The Summer of Arnold for Arnold Schwarzenegger. We love Bruce Willis. We dedicated a whole year to just making sure that we did a bunch of Bruce Willis movies called The Year of Bruce. We've done horror for a theme, you know, like I think we did, what, foreign horror?
Can't forget
like that.
Summer of Sam.
Summer of Sam, yep, there was a theme there.
Whole lot of Sams.
So, yeah, and I don't know, Dave's really been pushing for Princess Bride, and I wanted to do Misery, and with the, you know, the unfortunate death of Rob Reiner, it just seemed right to just do it now, especially while it's wintertime and it's recent. So, R.I.P. Reiner Month is what I'm calling it. I don't know if that's respectful or not, but we're going to do this, and we're going to also do
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Coming up for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Most romantic movie ever.
Before we get into the movie, and this is going to be very interesting because Dave and Eric haven't seen this movie. So
I have seen it, actually, but not since I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
That's fun. You saw this as a kid?
Yeah, but it was probably like the made-for-TV version, you know, so it had all the swears and like gruesome stuff edited out. So
I want to make sure listeners know there is a website that we have made. We are a designer and developer trio, and we have made a really nice website, thenomadsoffantasy.com. If you go there, you will see an organized way of listening to our show. So we have done Rob Reiner movies in the past. So I think after we do this and Princess Bride, we can probably update our website to have, there's the anime list, there's the Steven, whatever, you know, Steven Spielberg list or whatever, or, you know, playlist.
We could make a Stephen King list.
I was going to say, I'd like a Stephen King list. That'd be nice.
Yep.
Yeah. or Rob Reiner, because we've done his movies. But anyways, check out our website. It's a, we think it's pretty organized. And yeah, with that, I think also just real quick, join our Discord.
Yeah,
the numbersofcrazy.com/Discord.
That's right.
Always great to hear people come in and just say hi and chew on some stuff and share news and all that stuff. But anyways, okay, so Eric has seen this once when he was little. Eric is younger than Dave and I. Dave, I don't know how you got through being in your mid-40s here, and this is the first time you're friggin' seeing this movie.
Yeah, I remember parts, like, I remember the some of the more gruesome parts I've seen clips of here and there.
Okay, so you're familiar with it. You just
knew basically what was around. I'm a big Stephen King reader.
What did you guys think of?
It was great. It felt like a Stephen King. Felt like a Stephen King kind of movie, book, or whatever. I could see why it's one of his favorite adaptions, because it, I don't know, I never read the book, this book, but it seemed like it was fairly close to a Stephen King story. It was, I don't know, some of the similarities we can get into later, but when you see some of the, or hear him talk about some of the metaphors in the movie, makes a lot of sense as it being personal.
It's nice. You're that, walking away from this, though, liking it, though?
Like, yeah, I mean, I didn't have my happy shoes on. I'm happy. I'm glad with the way it ended, but there was some definite misery going on in this movie.
Okay.
It's nice, Eric, to see that Stephen King actually likes one of the adaptations that has been done. Usually he hates them. So that's a nice.
He's come around to
change of pace.
The Shining, I believe.
Really? Yeah. I feel like that was one he hated initially. So that's nice to hear.
I think he's come around to.
I mean, how do you not come around on The Shining? Classic. But anyways, Misery. Yeah, I definitely, like I said, I've seen it as a kid, maybe even more than once, because I don't know. I definitely remember instances of sitting down and watching this. But like I said, it was probably the TV version. So I don't think I've ever really seen the full version. And I surprisingly remember a lot of the scenes from, you know, just watching it as a kid. But watching it,
man.
Yeah, it's weird. But watching it for, you know, kind of the first time, full time through, unedited. Mm-hmm. I also really, really enjoyed it. It's weird because I love the tension in this movie. I think that's one of the best things, about this movie, is just that sense of tension that it creates, but it almost feels like a cozy movie too. Cause like you said, it's like winter time and this like house kind of out in the country
with this
like
motherly figure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Kathy Bates. You're laying in bed,
you're all hurt and sick, and you need to be taken care of. Right,
feeding them tomato soup.
Healthy meals. There's a pig walking in and out of the house.
Yeah, so it's a nice, like, cozy wintertime movie.
Cute, adorable old couple, sheriff, deputy.
Oh, don't get it all. I know. Don't talk about that. Mm. I was rooting for him the whole fucking movie.
Buster, man.
This guy's gonna make it.
I know. Yeah. Buster is awesome.
Old man, he just won't let it slide, though. He's stuck with it, you know? He's just like, Paul Sheldon. And then he just fiddles with his rubber band for a little bit, just thinking about it, noodling it.
He's like a Tarantino character, almost. The way that they, like, really laid into him and made him interesting in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Eric, I figured you would like it because you're always a sucker for, and we all are, when we're in one specific location. I mean, there is, you know, the book publisher or agent or whatever in the city, and you do have the sheriff. But those are side characters just to kind of help emphasize, like, the importance of finding this main character and just being trapped in that house and not knowing what's in the other rooms and what is going on here.
It feels very, like, I don't know if intimate is the right word, but like very, cause like it's just focusing on this relationship between these two characters throughout the entire movie and like the push and pull between them.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's weird because they're kind of like opposites, where he's like the intellectual one, but she's like the emotionally just like completely a fucking wreck.
Yeah. Off the
easily
rails,
manipulated too.
Yes, exactly. So, very, very interesting dynamic between, between those two.
Did you guys know? I mean, I thought that car accident. I thought this book may have been like based off of the car accident, but
yeah,
Stephen King's real life accident with the car was like 10-ish years after this book came out, which is another weird thing. Cause I knew
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
So he wrote it in,
I did not know that,
87, and the accident was in 99, where he got hit by a van while walking, suffering near fatal injuries to his legs.
Holy like shit.
Wow.
Mirrored the events of this book. So I thought it was like, I don't know. I always thought in my head that the accident was first and that misery was second, and he wrote it about his experiences.
Right, he usually writes about his fears and
but
clearly he wrote this book about him being an author, knowing that he's the successful author.
Yeah.
What if he got kidnapped by one of them?
Crazy ass fans too, which I don't know. I'm sure he deals with.
Number one fan.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
This movie has, you know, a 90 rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I was impressed by that. And it is a good movie. Is it for everybody? I think it's a pretty easy movie to watch if you can handle some tension. But I think a lot of things have tension in what they do. It's not too gruesome. There are a couple scenes that are pretty, you know, the ankle breaking. But
Not really.
You know, but other than
even
that,
looking at his
legs,
like,
yeah, they're all mangled and twisted up.
Yeah, but Kathy Bates got an Oscar. He did heal. She got an Oscar for her performance in this movie. So this is a legit movie that I think if you like movies and you like thrillers and you haven't seen this, you should watch this. If you haven't seen this movie, I don't think we've spoiled anything, but go watch it because basically it's about an author and he just finished writing his book and he's like, you know, think about, I don't know, Dan Brown, you know, you're always doing these mysteries and you just get tired of writing about the same character doing the same thing over and over again. So he's moved on. So his last book that just came out, you know, something happens that ends that franchise. So he wants to write a new story. And he just did. And on his way from leaving the lodge that he always writes at, he stupidly goes out into a snowstorm. It was like the worst snowstorm ever.
It was, and he's driving like an asshole, too.
Old classic Mustang.
Yeah.
Like 50 miles an hour around a cliff.
A curve.
With no railing.
Unplowed roads.
You know, he's asking for it. But he goes, he does finally go off the road, gets trapped in the snow, basically about to die, and somehow Annie Wilkes comes to the rescue with her crowbar, pops him out, and next thing you know, he is trapped in her farmhouse on the countryside, and nobody knows where he is except maybe a sheriff is looking for him, and our movie begins.
I didn't remember this part, but it wasn't by happenstance that she found him either. Like, she was like following him.
I thought that was interesting. That I'm glad that either he wrote that in the book, because I haven't read it, but I do want to read it, because I do believe this would make an excellent HBO Netflix miniseries remake. You know, I really do think
they miniseries can explore, would be interesting.
That would be cool.
Yeah, you know, get the guy that did like the Bly Manor and Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah,
that guy would crush Misery. But
The one thing that, well, when you said he wrote his manuscript, the manuscript was the manuscript to end the series, which is why.
He does say that, right? Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. It's the last book in the series that he's like ending the series with, that he's traveling with. Not,
no, I thought the
not
previous
the new
one
thing.
That came out, because she loses her mind over that book. Because
she reads it.
So
she reads
the manuscript
it, and
that he wrote is not.
I don't want to spoil it. Yeah.
The manuscript that he wrote is not the Misery book. That's his new book. That's
his new book. It's not even titled. It's so new.
Yes. Because she goes to the store to buy the last book in the Misery series. And then she reads it.
Oh, okay.
He's known for Misery.
Yes.
I got it. I thought the one that she was reading was the last Misery.
So he reads the manuscript first, and she hates it because he's like using profanity and
But the book has already been out in public.
The book has
it's
been
like
out.
Just getting published.
And then, so she hates that, but then she, you know, she's excited to read the last in the Misery series, which I love that so much, because, like, we know at that point he kills her. He kills the character in the book. So we know that Annie is going to fly off the handle when we read that. So we're just waiting for that moment. Because, like, she's like, oh, I'm almost done with the book. I'm almost done with the book. And you could tell on Paul's face that he's like, oh, shit. Like, she's going to find out that Misery is dead at the end. And right, that moment where she comes barging in and is just so furious that he kills Misery is one of the best scenes.
That, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
But real quick, I do want to say that I like that he wrote that in to the story that she found him not by chance, and it just turned out she's number one. That's cool.
I forgot that
a lot
part.
Of movies, a lot of movies don't really explain this, and I love that she's like, I'm obsessed with you, and I've literally been watching you because I know you're a person of
when she
watching
your window in the
yeah hotel that's the line. Yeah. I wasn't shocked about the following him when she says, sometimes I just go out at night and I look up at your window and watch like the light
wondering
on
what
in
you're
your house
doing in there.
I'm like, oh, right, like, this shit just got
she's
like
just sitting out
stalkery
there.
Like, this got fucking nuts.
I'm your number one fan.
Gee,
I don't know. So it's gives you the willies. It's great because she does a really good job of making you feel nice and cozy. Like, man, if I was going to get trapped, I'm like, I'm
oh,
glad
yeah, when
this
she
lady's
first,
taking care of me.
You know, takes him in, like, she's great. She seems like an angel, but it's
when
that.
When she spills the soup or whatever on the blanket, she snaps on him. And his acting's pretty good, too. He's just kind of like, he's not overacting. He's literally doing everything with his eyes. He's just like,
well, it's brilliantly written.
Like, his eyes got bigger and just.
Everything you write is brilliant.
Yeah, James Caan is
like,
awesome.
What the fuck?
The swearing, Paul. There, I said it.
The profanity bothers you.
It has no nobility.
These are slum kids. I was a slum kid. Everybody talks like that.
They do not? What do you think I say when I go to the feed store in town? Oh, now, Wally, give me a bag of that effing pig feed and 10 pounds of that bitchly cow corn. And in the bank, do I tell Mrs. Bollinger, oh, here's one big bastard of a check. Give me some of your Christing money. There, look there. See what you made me do? Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, sometimes I get so worked up. Can you ever forgive me?
Yeah, he's very relatable, and he's got to do a lot with, like, obviously he can't move, so he's got to use his face. I'd be interested in know what he did to prep for this character, like, you know, like, to really work on your facial acting, because it was a lot of that.
Right.
And whenever she lost her damn mind, I loved it so much. I was just like, that's so scary. Because, like, you've met people in real life who are, like, highs and lows, man. It's just like you're always on edge around them. And you don't know it until, like, they do something. Like, oh, wow, you really get like that sometimes? Like, you're not, like, right. We all have our highs and lows. But your highs and lows, like, whoa.
And then she comes back 5 minutes later, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Bipolar,
you know, sometimes,
man.
I can lose my temper. I'm like, oh, shit, clearly.
A little bit.
Yeah. Paul knew he was in trouble.
To say the least. I'm thinking about the logistics of this. Like, how is he taking a dump? Like, is she getting out of the bed?
Oh,
like,
she's got to be changing his bedpan.
I mean, she's a nurse.
We
see him pissing in the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is gross, but.
So he poops
bathing
in a pan.
Yeah.
Bedpan. He's just bedpans it.
Giving
over
him sponge baths.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about
that. I mean, she's a nurse, you know? So, like, she had experience with all that stuff. So
third shift nurse at the local hospital.
I'm like, what's he going to do? Disgraced. Fucking. You know, he's got no other choice but to let her take care of him or he's going to die.
Yeah.
You know,
it is interesting. It is interesting because it is layered a little bit. Like, he's definitely wants to get out of there. He's not like he really likes her. He's got to, like, I have to fake like this lady because she's out of her goddamn mind. Mm-hmm. She's also been stalking me, and I got into an accident and I'm trapped in her house and I know she's lying to me. Like, now I know. And she's getting scarier and scarier and more aggressive. And if it rains, she's depressed. Like, she is, I don't know what to do. I need to do something. And he said, like, I got to cut out the pills. Like, he's a smart guy. He figures out the pills. He starts tucking those into the thing. He's like, got a weapon. He's like trying to sneak around. He did that stupid thing with the door somehow where he unlocked it and locked it. Like, he's like, that worked. Like, he's a smart guy. And she's not smart, but she's dangerous. Yeah. She's extremely dangerous.
She's unpredictable. It's a volatility, that's the scariest thing.
Yeah. So I love that feeling I had throughout the whole movie. I think it was a great movie, honestly. I'm really impressed like that it holds up. Her acting is as good as I remember it. And yeah, it kind of just ends and, you know, but...
I actually did watch this one with my wife, which she usually doesn't watch the podcast movies with me.
It's on HBO and Peacock, by the way.
Yeah, and she stayed up through the whole thing, and she was into it. So, like, it was...
Oh, okay. I think Dave was just saying his wife
liked
this
movie. Like, she was, like, she was excited to watch it. I don't think she's watched it in a decade or two.
She was sick.
She was just raving about Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
I mean, fun Dave, for the whole family.
Did you not like Kathy Bates in this movie?
No, she's amazing. Like
she's great in it, right? Yeah, awesome. You can see that.
You go from like demure, like, and I've met people in real life that maybe not like this volatile of a switch from one end of the bipolar scale to the other. But the way that she goes from like, oh, fuddy duddy, and like, oopsie, I won't, like you were saying before, like she won't swear. But she will take a fucking sledgehammer to your goddamn ankles like that. Sort of like weird disconnect. And she's probably murdering babies at the hospital or something. Something was going on there.
She's like, you know where the babies don't stop screaming? So she probably just took the baby and just smothered it or slammed it or, you know, did something stupid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because she's got a short temper.
There was one point.
And passive aggressive, dude. Like that paper thing, dude. The paper thing, I was chuckling because she's so childishly passive aggressive. Right. Is there anything else you would like me to do? It's like, I love it.
I forgot. Sorry, yeah, I didn't remember that part where he finds like all the newspaper clippings and like realizes that, she's actually insane and does all this stuff. But there is there's one hint early in the movie where she says something about like being on the witness stand. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. She must have been on trial for something, which makes sense. But it comes back later. Father. Right. With all the exactly.
She probably killed her father, right?
Yeah. Yep. That was part
What was that newspaper. Part? I missed that.
Was it
part.
Her father or her husband?
Was that a newspaper clipping? Well, that was part of that little montage?
I don't think she ever got married.
Yes. She says her husband left her. But like then I assumed it was her husband because she says her husband left her. And she hasn't really been the same since. But then the newspaper clipping, I assumed that was her like husband's obituary. Like he didn't actually leave her. She killed him.
Oh, I didn't know she was married.
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Unless she's lying, but she says like her husband left her. So I just assumed that she had killed him. Because there was a newspaper clipping of like a dude with the same last name as her. You know, so that was like dead under mysterious circumstances. So, but
I mean, she's got a closet full of drugs. Like she knows, knows what's going on.
Clearly smuggling all these drugs from the hospital that she used to work at, which, again,
that's true. Yeah.
I was also wondering, like, does she still, I mean, she's home all day, I'm guessing. So I don't know if they ever say if she's still working or not. I'm just curious, like...
I don't think She didn't have to, like, leave during the day, or else she wouldn't be able to watch.
Yeah, I'm just curious how she's... how she's maintaining this farm without working.
I thought she works at a hospital third shift. That's what she says, but she's also full of shit. But then again...
Right,
she's home all the time.
She's got a job somehow.
Right, it seems like the only time she leaves is when she, like, runs into town for... like supplies
more or goddamn paper
right fucking write paper
I also
thought it was hilarious and like good attention to detail about how they say the typewriter is missing the N, and then we see him typing and you can see all the words that don't have the N.
Love that.
The key is missing.
I'm thinking, oh, is he typing so fast that he's panicking because he knows she's not going to read it, he's just typing just to type, but like, oh no, duh, that's right. He has a type. Why? Just why? Why is the letter N missing? Just
right. An old shitty typewriter.
Because it's small town shit that you just like get like, hey, this is a typewriter in 1990. You want one? Like instead of a computer? But
nah.
Nah.
Well, one of the scarier parts, I don't know. I thought this was you mentioned Kathy Bates earlier. When the sheriff comes to the house.
Yeah, she's in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned her earlier.
When she drugs him, what is his name, Peter?
Paul?
Paul, the main character? Paul. Sorry, yeah. Peter, Paul. Close.
Peter, Paul. Peter.
Yeah. One of the Beatles, I don't know.
Peter.
She pops up, drugs him, and then drags him into the basement, and then the sheriff comes in.
Oh, dude, that's when it got intense. That's mm-hmm. when you're like, where is this going? Because she's already got the gun. And
Lies that she comes up with, like, and she's just like, you won't believe it. It's so silly. I decided to become... She, like, has this whole spiel prepared and ready to go.
Oh, yeah, she's had this prepared, like, this plan B for, you know, weeks in case something does happen.
It's just the... Go from like murderous to like completely sensible.
That's the best part. And she nailed it. And I think if you were to recast her, you'd have to get an actress that can just nail that change and mm-hmm. make it both like relaxing and motherly. But
what the fuck?
Yeah, when she snaps, she fucking snaps and she's scary. Yeah, exactly.
But you're also like a dork. You're still like this Christian dorky lady where you're like, you.
She's living by herself with her fucking pet pig. She's got all these knickknacks and
chowskis. Clearly single. Clearly single. Yep. Clearly, yeah.
And it doesn't come back right away, but also I thought it was cool. Like when he escapes, the first time he escapes the room, you know, and he's mm-hmm. looking for the phone and the phone ends up being fake or whatever. And then he knocks the little penguin over and we see him put it back. And he puts it back the wrong way, which, I mean, if you're not paying attention, you might not notice that.
Oh, that was nice.
But then it comes back around later.
Way later.
I thought it was going to come back like.
She's got the knife. Like, I know you've been sneaking out.
Yep.
Paul, I know.
Which she knew. Like, she
dirty birdie.
Which makes it even more scary because she knew, like, Paul, like, obviously, Paul didn't know that she knew. But, like, even after that first time that he snuck out, she knew. From that penguin. So, like, she's known this whole time that he's been doing
this. I like that.
Yeah.
Movies today, they would already, like, oh, they're too stupid. They need to know that she knows.
Right.
I like that this movie's just like, no, it's scarier. Because he's trapped in this room. He's blindsided. He doesn't know what version of Annie's coming through that door.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she's, like, privy, knows what's going on. And other times she's clueless. And he can manipulate her. But other times she's so radical. I want to... I want to talk about the sheriff and his wife. Every time I've seen this movie,
I love them so much.
I love the wife.
Their relationship.
She's so funny. She's like flirting. She wants to like have sex.
I hope my relationship's like that when I'm fucking 75 years old.
This old lady is so cool, man. It's the weakest part of the movie is the fact that her character gets no closure. She doesn't show up and find out. You know, like she just doesn't know that her husband and they're such a great couple
mm-hmm.
and they're doing things together. She's just cracking jokes at him the whole time and he goes out to just like, I got an idea. And then he goes to the house and then he's killed.
Yeah.
And we don't get any closure on that. And I
felt bad for that one.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You get closure with the publisher, but you know, she gets her final scene with him and saying like, you know, like things are great. We're doing good. You know? And he's like, I'm so haunted by her. But like that old lady, like what the hell? She was, so fun.
She didn't need closure. She's just the sheriff's wife. Like, how dare you? When you're in this car, you're not my wife. You're my deputy.
Yes, I love that.
That was the great line there by Buster.
Yeah.
Frances Sternhagen is the actress's name that played Virginia, his wife.
Mm. Okay. Virginia. Yeah, they were great. Really good casting. Honestly, throughout the whole movie, everybody was really good at the role they played in a cast of like five people. But
the store owner, you know, we only see him in one scene.
Feels like a guy that would be in a small town.
It's a small town thing. Yeah. And like he's just going about his business. And then Buster's like, oh, you know, Annie Wilkes been in here. She buy anything, you know, out of the ordinary lately? Like if you call paper out of the ordinary, you know. Like, it's just great. Good representation of like small town America. Yeah.
That line is so like an old man would say that. Yep. That is so true. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. And maybe that's why Steven King likes this is because maybe I really should read the book. Maybe it's from his book. The screenplay is very respectful. So as an author, he's probably like, yeah, thank you for not changing what I made. I like that you got...
Some parts are a bit different. I guess the Rob Reiner toned down the ankle-breaking scene from the books. Oh, apparently, okay. It was much worse.
Oh, shit. How much worse
did it get? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, this sounds
slamming it with a sledgehammer.
Not great, but I'm reading some facts here. The part of the reason... like the horror of like the crazy fan and like the director or the writer feeling trapped like in a genre or whatever. He was writing horror movies for a while and he wrote The Eyes of the Dragon, which is like a fantasy book about like a king and squires and stuff. Apparently that didn't go well with the Stephen King fans back in the day.
Right.
So part of that like backlash to his writing work eventually, you know, made it into this book, which was after that, which is kind of crazy too. Like I love that like there's some truth to it and there's some reality, like because there's no like special effects or like The Shining, like The Shine kind of stuff that's in some of his other books where it's supernatural. This is just
right,
yeah, there's
dude trapped really in a nothing. Fucking house.
Yep.
Yeah,
which
yep.
I don't know. I was looking at like some of the shots that they made like in the house, because it's a pretty small little spot and it's enclosed, and you see all four walls of the room, which means they're shooting like in a set on like in that little location. So like some of the shots that they get with him either like sitting by the typewriter by the window, or whenever they're showing Paul, he's like got the framed with the, like the bed on both sides of him, which is, you know, kind of a standard shot. Or you got like the long down the hall shot. It's a pretty tight space and they use it well to like.
Is that Reiner doing all that?
It's gotta be, I think.
Did he do Stand By Me?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Did he?
Right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yep. he if you think about this director and how he's able to do that, is I think because when he wants to capture whatever he wants to capture, he's pretty good at doing that. Like, he had to capture kids in the 50s on their own, talking shit, goofing around, right? And he captured that.
Yeah.
And he captured this. He's, you know, he's captured the whole following a band with Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap, one of my favorite comedies. And I love that movie so much. And it's so funny. He's a very versatile director, and I don't know if you're going to throw him out there with, you know, Coppola or, I don't know who did
Scorsese who did, or like
Scorsese. I'm trying to think. Yeah, some of the more modern ones. Who did the Dark Knight and Christopher Nolan?
Yeah,
you know, like there's some names out there. These are the greats, but Rob Reiner has done When Harry Met Sally and Princess Bride. He has done a variety of movies.
Very diverse.
Yeah, a few, you know, good men.
Yeah.
Like you go from like
Few Good Men, that's ultra
military
drama,
ultra drama. Like intensity.
Yeah. So, which is why, you know, I wanted to make sure that we paid respects to the guy, because he is what we want out of a film director. Like it's great. You don't know what you're going to get, but it's good. And yeah, I'm with you. I really feel like the way you were explaining, like peeking down the room, dude, that scene when the sheriff shows up with Annie making the hot cocoa.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're looking out at each other out the
it is a small house, Dave, but we're there right next to them watching this unfold, and it's
right. Yep.
Who's gonna make the first move? Right. I love that whole tension of that shot, and he captured that so well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, even the I love the scene. Again, another scene that just creates tension in the unpredictability of Annie's character is when the storm is happening and it's raining outside, and she just comes in looking all disheveled and fucking pulls gun out of her pocket and is like, "I have this gun. I'm thinking about using it." I'm like, "Fuck
on yourself, on me."
Yeah, exactly. She just says, "I'm thinking about using it." Paul doesn't know what the fuck that means.
Keeping it loose just in case. You never know.
Yep. But yeah, just like she's just so she just Kathy Bates just does an incredible job of.
I love just that. I so love unhinged. The scene where she's like talking to him and she's looking out the window and she's just talking to him, talking to him, talking to him. I forget what about specifically. But oh, it was about the whole Evel Knievel thing, you know, where the kids get all excited and then she turns around and Paul's like, I'm done. And he was peeing. He was she came yeah. in to give him the cup, the peeing or whatever, the vessel to pee in, and she just hangs around. She's not like, I will leave.
No. No.
But she doesn't. She fucking stays.
She's talking with it in her hands. She's kind of like shaking it around.
Then then she talks
as she's talking with the jug of piss in her hand.
Yeah,
good. I love that scene. And like that's just says so much about where her brain is at and like what she's thinking about. And she's obsessive. She's bipolar. It's very obsessive. And
the nurse like,
lonely.
The nurse lonely. The knowledge that a nurse has like tied into all that too is mm-hmm. Because she knows what she's doing. Like, she knows how to... she's describing how they used to keep people from running away, and they would use the term hobbling. She's like, well, here we go.
Yeah. Can... yep.
Just gets right in there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, such a credit to... I mean, obviously, Stephen King wrote the book, so a lot of the writing came from there, but just it being... Like, the majority of the movie takes place in this one room, this bedroom, where mm-hmm. Paul in the bed and it's Annie beside the bed talking to him. So like to make that such a compelling movie just out of, you know, these two characters interacting with each other in this one room, like it's just, yeah, it's an accomplishment for sure.
I'm just flipping through Rob Reiner's IMDb page here, and the amount of shit that this guy has done is insane. Like, this guy did not stop working from like, '60s all the way up to 2025. He's either acting in something, directing something, he's producing something.
On the Discord, he was in the latest season of The Bear and he was great in it. And like, it just sad. Yeah. They were setting up his character to like be a bigger part next season. So it's just, really? It's just tragic.
Yeah. That sucks, man. He really nailed it with Spinal Tap. I don't know. I think Spinal Tap 2 might not be that good, but have you guys seen This Is Spinal Tap?
No.
I have not, no.
You have to watch it.
Is it coming up?
Dude, it's so funny. It still holds up. It's the oldest comedic movie that I can go back to and say this is still... I find jokes in it still today. I love it. This, Monty Python, The Holy Grail, like these are peak classic comedies that really still hold up. Please watch This Is Spinal Tap.
1984.
Please have a beer with it. Enjoy that movie. It is so well made. And Eric, you haven't seen this.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Thank you. You haven't seen it, right?
Yep. No, I have not. Which okay. Yeah, we're doing next.
So I'm very excited for that because I think I've never seen a movie like that movie. It's so its own thing. It feels like other genres, but it's not in those genres enough. It's its own.
It's interesting. Thing. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's one of those movies that again is like penetrated pop culture with just that one quote. Like I've heard that 100 million times.
This is my father prepared to die. Are you kidding? Yeah. My father prepared to die.
Yes, exactly.
Which is actually a very good scene in a very weird movie, but it's a great heartfelt scene.
I can tell a lot about a person I don't know if I've ever met a person that says they don't like The Princess Bride.
I didn't like it when I was a kid. I always thought it was weird, poorly acted.
Weird and dumb?
dumb, and I didn't get it. I just didn't get the style. But then when I got older, I was like, wow, it really is its own thing, and it does a lot of things right. It's just interesting, and yeah, it has these lines in it, and it's so... memorable.
I mean, that's a couple of years after this, or no, before this movie.
It was before, it was
87, and Misery was 90, so just a couple of years. So, flexing Reiner's his the man. Muscles.
It's a shame. It really is a shame what happened to him. It's a straight-up tragedy to be murdered by your son, apparently, and the way he did it. But The best we can do as fans of cinema is to, you know, respect the man. And I'm glad that we watched Misery. I don't know what else we really want to talk about Misery.
How did you guys feel about the ending? Just how it all, how it wrapped
it's kind of weak.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
It's nice that he's haunted by her. Like, that's cool that, like, it stuck with him, because, like, it would. And he's like, in a way, she gave me the ability to write something new, right. And like, this is really good.
I kind of would have liked to see a little bit more of the scene, like, right after he killed her, you know, like how he escaped and how he, like, got back and whatnot. Because, like, she didn't have, like, he was still kind of fucked up.
Did she have,
like,
a phone? Couldn't walk at all? Great.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, did she have a real phone somewhere in the house? All we saw was that fake phone. So, like, did he crawl to the car and drive to town? You know, stuff like that. I would have liked to see a little bit more after that scene.
You're making me think of the end of the movie, dude. All right. One, I learned he's 45. I'm turning 45, and he's 45 in this role. He looks like he's 55.
he could be.
Yeah.
I love the fight at the end. It's so good with because he's been lifting and working.
Yeah.
Halfway into the movie, my 11-year-old sat down and watched the movie with me. And I was like, you might not want to watch this. But he actually was into it, too. And so I'm like, yeah, watch how he's trapped there. And he's lifting this big, heavy typewriter to
fix that shoulder.
Yeah. So I was really smart, you know, really cool. I love when he set it up. He's like, go get another candle or whatever. Oh, not a candle, but like a drink or whatever.
Another glass, yeah.
And glass, yeah. And he takes the stupid story that he wrote with her, lays it on the ground, pours all that kerosene out or whatever he had, lighter fluid that he got. And I love that he always put stuff between his sweat. He's only getting busted with that shit. It's very good. But he lights it off. I like his cool little one-handed light
going on. Back in the 70s or 80s when you could light a match with your finger, because they didn't give a shit about safety back then.
Oh, yeah. So he lights it and he throws it on the manuscript. She's like, no. She dives on it to save it because she made him burn his shit. And then he takes a typewriter and bashes her head.
I'm surprised she lived through this.
I was going to say, she's a beast She didn't even get knocked out.
She is twice the size of him. And you see the cool fight going on. But he takes her out. When he's leaving, and she does do the, I'm not dead yet, right?
That got me.
That was scary.
That was good, right? That was good. That was a cool fight. That was scary. But, oh my God, how funny is it when he does the final, he trips her when she's, like, getting up, and she falls over and cracks her head on the typewriter? Ching. How horribly, like, the model, the dummy head that they used did not look like her.
Oh,
we had to rewind and pause it.
Even it's so bad. Jen was like, when she was watching, she was like, that looks so fucking bad.
It was so bad. It falls and then it kind of rolls a little bit off of it. Like,
yeah.
It was so bad.
Fooled me.
I mean, it was just that one, like, split second.
Really, Dave? But... Go type right now. Go look up.
I don't want to ruin it. Annie Death,
Misery, but oh my God. That got me. We were chuckling. But yeah, I don't know. The ending is
the fight was good. I'm glad that he got use of his legs back. My fear
he
was
tripped
that
with him.
Well, I thought he was going to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Yeah. Like I didn't.
And he's
I don't
cool
know
and
how
sophisticated right. using a cane at the
well,
end.
His legs were nasty when he got into the car accident. And like,
yeah, they were fucked up.
Depending on how many times his legs were broken, like she set all those bones to
with
like
wood and dude.
Like
plus
shit,
the fucking
I'm
ankles.
Surprised. I'm glad
the ankles too. Ugh.
I'm just glad dude was able to walk. That was a happy ending as far as my book is concerned.
Yep.
And
we'll
see. I don't know. The fact that he sees Annie, like, and everybody and all of his fans now too, which is kind of
right. Yeah, the lady comes up. Oh, I'm your number one fan.
That's creepy as shit.
Yeah,
it's good though.
One last comment. I like that he gets a big ass room to himself. She is in a tiny little attic. Just a little room.
Pounding 2 liters. And
she at least gets a TV.
Chips.
He's got nothing to entertain himself like the whole time.
What does he do?
Yeah, he
all
can hear
day.
Her watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. He just sits
like,
there
he just
in
gets
that fucking
nothing.
Bed. Yeah. Doesn't even get a book to read. I mean, eventually he gets the typewriter so to keep himself busy. But before that, he's just sitting in bed fucking what? Staring at the ceiling all day?
That's interesting. Yeah. They should have given us some scenes where he's going crazy.
That's misery right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Double meaning.
Ooh. I'm bored being trapped by
I just realized misery. He's miserable. And also, it's the character of the book. No way. Whoa. I do like having the word in the movie like over and over again too.
Misery.
Like just have it because
he's sick of it.
Yeah.
And the pig. Sick of it.
And she's
And the pig.
Yep. Yep.
Can't forget that.
Yeah. Can't forget the pig.
I'm surprised at one point I thought she was gonna murder the pig and feed it to him.
Oh.
Or something like that.
Yeah, like she's cold, like she can just turn
it's like her baby.
Yeah,
I know. But it is. She's got pig stuffies and statues throughout the house. She's obsessed with.
I mean, that's what brained her at the end. Like it was the fucking pig door stopper, wasn't it, that he just fucking bashes her in the face with?
Oh yeah,
oh, is that what it was?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, something like that. Typewriter. Okay.
Yeah. You know that pig came in and just ate her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Typewriter was after. Typewriter might have been when we first thought she was dead.
Did you just say the pig came in and ate her?
Dude, pigs. Yeah, pigs will eat anything.
I know they do that. Pigs will eat anything, right?
They'll
eat them to the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
They'll eat even the bone.
Yeah, so you'll be nothing left of you.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a wrap on Misery.
It was fun.
I'm trying
fun
really hard to stop recommending like thriller and gross or horror movies. You know, after the Halloween season, I was like, hey, let's watch Weapons. And, you know, just did Scrooge, which is not like the most lighthearted Christmas movie. So I know we've been doing a lot of dark things, but I think Princess Bride and so forth, we got a couple other things. I think we get us in a chipper mood. The world's falling apart. So, you know, the Nomads of Fantasy could at least do maybe a better job. More optimistic stuff. You know?
Let's get some. Let's bring it up. Yeah. Lighthearted stuff in here. Yeah.
Dave,
I can't
what are
wait.
A couple I've... items actually that are coming up. Do you know? Princess Bride and then.
I'm just pumped for Princess Bride. I've probably seen that movie 1,000 times.
I know we had the
one battle. Could probably recite most of it.
One battle after another is what I've been pushing for.
Okay. So I think we'll do Princess Bride. We'll have a catch up for January, and then we're going to do one battle after another.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
that works.
I'm excited to see that one too. I've heard that
one. Yeah, I've heard
quite good things.
I like me some Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, let's take a break. We have left the room and we're in the hallway, but we're not out of the house yet. When we come back, we will do our final act. I have a game for you guys.
Oh boy.
Simple game, but it might be hard. It might be really hard, so we'll see.
All
right. But let's take a break right after this. We have returned for the ending of the show where we like to play a game, a trivia game, and we were just talking about how, you know, Brandon, you've been doing a lot of 20 questions lately, so I am not going to do that for this episode, for this one. I have a simple game, but it might be really hard, or you might get it right away, I don't know. All I'm asking for you guys to do, I'm calling it Miserables, and all you got to do is think of at least three movies, because there's three of us when we're trapped in a house. You have to think of three movies where the main character is trapped and needs to get out by the end of the movie.
Okay.
And you can work together for this one. And let me see here. I'll give you, for the sake of the podcast and people losing their damn mind, we got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
So just three movies. That's it. Where somebody's trapped and they need to. I will be the judge.
Generally,
I will
be the judge. The majority of the movie,
the main
character or characters are trapped until the end of the movie.
There's not a scene
where they're trapped, but the whole movie.
Oh.
They're trapped.
So, interesting. Okay. Let's start with a softball.
Yeah. Shawshank.
Jurassic Park. They're trapped on the island with the dinosaurs. And then at the end of the movie, they get off the island.
Judge?
You know what? I don't mind that. I think there's better, but you make a good point where they go to the island early on, and then at the very end of the movie, they are leaving it, and they are technically trapped. So, yeah.
Give me a half a point. We'll save that one for the back pocket.
Brandon popped out of the house, and he's free. He ran out of the woods.
I mean, I'm free. Does Shawshank?
We got David and Eric left. What's that?
Does Shawshank Redemption count?
Wow, you guys are so good at this. Absolutely, dude. Wow. Okay. All right.
What's he going to jail for in Shawshank? I forget.
Stupid. It's stupid. Murdering his wife that he clearly did not do.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, he was set up.
It was a whole other guy and somebody knew about it. You've seen that movie, right?
Oh, it's been a while.
Oh,
I have seen it. Yeah.
Another Stephen King story.
I mean, there's so many out there. We do need. Maybe this should be the year of Stephen.
A good, a lot of good ones.
King, because I haven't seen the original It. Like, there's a lot of them that I haven't seen.
It's so hard, dude. It's
or
so
even
hard
the new Its. I haven't seen any of them.
The new Its are good.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Trapped. So, wow, Jurassic Park and Shawshank Redemption. Those are excellent picks.
I guess they're not, maybe sort of trapped. I was gonna say like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like,
I haven't seen that in ages. But
I don't know if they're really trapped. But they do escape at the end. You know,
That's not a bad one either. It's not a bad one either. I like it. I think we all got out. I think that's fine. But let's see if we can get two. I was initially gonna give you guys five.
Yeah.
How about another Stephen King? But The Shining, where they're trapped in the goddamn hotel.
That's a good one.
And they get out.
All right. That is a good one. Let's see. All right. You got four? Boys, just keep them coming.
Spare.
A couple of minutes. I'm impressed.
Just keep them coming.
I have a list,
babe.
And you haven't named any of the movies that I listed.
Really?
I thought you would. Yeah, and I thought about this all day.
Okay.
I was thinking.
Honestly,
at
this rate, guys, I'm rooting for you to get to 10. If you can get to 10, we'll definitely end it. But let's see what we can do in the next couple minutes.
What the fuck was that movie?
Think about
The Count
of
Monte Cristo,
by the way.
But it's not like the whole movie. It's like half the movie.
No, that's the first third, and it's the best part. Is the trap part.
But that's the first thing I thought of. But it's not like the whole movie.
Right.
I'm glad that one's still fresh in your mind. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I'm trying to think of things
about
like prisons or jails.
Yeah, we've done some on the podcast where the character is trapped throughout the whole movie.
Die Hard?
Die Hard. one of them.
Does The Matrix count?
Why do you think that? I thought about it, but I was like, I don't think it is. But why do you think it is?
I mean, they're trapped in the Matrix, you know? I mean,
but they're not, though. The main character isn't.
Like, they're in the Matrix, bro.
Early on.
They're in the Matrix.
He chooses to go back in the Matrix, and he goes.
I thought about
The Matrix doesn't. But Die Hard was one of
them.
Dave, there's another one that we've done on the podcast where I'll say the characters go to a place and they're trapped.
Characters
for the movie.
Goonies? No, I don't know why I thought of the Goonies.
Did we do the Goonies?
Yeah, we did the Goonies.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh,
that was my first time. That was my first time watching it.
Do a movie and then redo it on the podcast and see if Dave. Have we done this before?
Nope. We've done a lot of stuff.
That could be a game. Have we done this movie on the podcast? Yes or no?
When you get to 160 some episodes, you do get the luxury of saying, "Wow, I mean, that's a lot of topics."
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, Jurassic Park, Shawshank Redemption, Die Hard.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
What did we just say? Can't even remember all the other ones.
Dread.
Oh, Green Mile also.
Dread is... What is it?
Green Mile. Another
Stephen King.
Yeah.
Green Mile. Okay. Shawshank Redemption. What was the other one you just said?
What did I just say? It went
did you say Dread?
It went into my head and out Dread. Of my mouth. Yes, Dread.
Yeah, Dread. Yeah, Dread.
Did you get... Right. You got The Shining in there too, right?
The Shining was the one we missed.
Oh, The Shining. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think you guys are like up to 8, basically. So just a couple more.
Well,
wow.
Jurassic Park 2. Jurassic Park 3.
No. We'll just say what Jurassic about, Park because they're all the same.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. I have Ooh, Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Islands. Yeah. What about Lighthouse?
Oh, that's a good one.
Lighthouse. Yes. You're trapped.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or Annihilation.
Another good one.
I thought about Annihilation.
But they go into it
they don't, early. Yeah, they don't really you get know, out either.
Trapped, yeah. Oh, Alien. Alien. Right?
Alien.
100%. They're trapped on the oh, ship with the alien. And then
what's the other movie, Ripley, Event Horizon.
Ripley escapes at the end. Yeah, Event Horizon. Yeah.
Event Horizon, they're trapped on the ship. Man, oh, we crushed right.
yeah,
this
you
game.
Guys are good. All right, we're good. All right, so I have also Get Out, which I think is in so many layers.
Oh, yeah,
that's a good one.
They're trapped in so many ways. Obviously, Saw. They're trapped in Saw.
I didn't even think of those movies.
I don't watch those. I put 12 Monkeys. Because he's trapped in a loop.
Yeah, okay.
And then I have Midsummer. They just don't know, but they're trapped, and they're never getting out of there.
Yeah, yep. that
so that's what I was saying, like, the podcast, because we've done some. So that's, like, 15 movies right there.
Damn.
Turns out the Nomads are fans of people being trapped.
It's anxiety-inducing.
So, movies in general.
It makes for good drama, good anxiety, or good attention.
Anxiety, definitely.
Yeah, it's something that we all don't like, you know, cabin fever. Cabin fever is another one, I guess. You lose your mind. It's obviously not safe. We're meant to.
Thing.
The witch. Witch. You said the thing earlier. Thing. The witch.
You did say
trap. Okay. Did you say Yeah.
The Thing is a good one. There you go.
But a lot of movies, you can't get out. And it's very interesting. So that's fun. Wow, we... Totally crushed.
Have we watched The Abyss yet? That one's good.
We did The Abyss for the podcast.
We said that Ed Harris was like the perfect leading man because he's funny, charming, romantic. He is.
I get that one in Sphere, the Sphere mixed up.
A leader
up
in it. Oh.
In my brain.
We have not seen the Sphere for the podcast, but if we want to see a schlocky 90s sci-fi, that's a fun ride.
It's a good genre.
It's better than Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Event Horizon, did we do that for Halloween?
We did that for Shocktober. We did that. Or no, that wasn't Shocktober, was it? Was it?
No. Then it we was just before. Did it.
Okay. Oh, no, it was Summer of Sam.
Sam Elliott. Or,
it was Summer of Sam for Sam Neill. Yes.
Thank you.
Sam Elliott in that movie would have been awesome.
Sam Elliott.
Okay.
Event Horizon. I'll show you what.
Well,
we're in hell now.
Going down there in that thing. We can just stay in our own ship.
That's a good impression. No.
Right? His eyes get really close when he does it, too. It's accurate.
So that is Misery. That was a lot of fun. We got we got everybody out of town. We also resuscitated and saved and filled a hole in the sheriff's chest. We were so good. And we wrote a book about it. Made
poor guy.
Adaptation. They made a podcast miniseries, a Netflix anime series.
About Buster.
Just crushed it.
All about Buster.
Yep. Bring him back.
I've already mentioned the website. I've already mentioned the Discord. But, Eric, if there's anything else that you think people need to know about us, I mean.
Yeah, of course. No. Got the video versions at the youtube.com/@nomadsoffantasy. You got What Map Game, whatmapgame.com. If you like guessing.
Which we've been playing lately, and it's so fun.
It's fun.
It is good. It's so good.
It's hard to guess what video game this map is from.
Yep, exactly. So that's always fun, whatmapgame.com. If you want to check out the little game we made, it's still going. But yeah, I think that's about it for this week. Let's kick off our Rest in Peace Reiner month. And you know, I'm excited to watch Princess Bride for next time.
So. I feel like you're opening up a whole new chapter in your life.
I can't wait.
It's another movie that you're going to love until the day you die.
Or you hate. Can't wait. It happens. There are people who don't get this
movie.
If
he doesn't like it, I am leaving this podcast.
Oh, shit. That's a lot of pressure.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot of pressure. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I have. I found a lot of my, like, favorite movies through this podcast. Gladiator still sticks out in my mind as, like, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. Never watched Gladiator 2.
Go on record and say that if you don't like Princess Bride, you're probably a piece of shit as a human.
Oh, no.
Like, in general, if you don't like Princess Bride. All right. No pressure, Eric. No pressure.
Do you like Neverending Story?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, okay. Because it's, like, the closest.
But I've heard, I've heard that movie, like, traumatized everybody as a kid or something.
Yeah, it's got some weird scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look at you.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a wrap. And sorry, Eric, you always do the closing.
You can take it away.
Save for another moment. I don't do that. It's not
until next time. As always, safe travels, nomads.
Cock-a-doody nomads.
fucking dirty birdie.
Could you? She can't be dead. Misery Chastain cannot be dead.
Annie, in 1871, women often died in childbirth. But her spirit is the important thing, and Misery's spirit is still alive.
I don't want her dead! I want her! And you murdered her!
No, I didn't.
Who did?
No one. She died. She just slipped away.
Annie! I thought you were good, Paul. But you're not good. You're just another lying old dirty birdie. And I don't think I better be around you for a while. Don't even think about anybody coming for you. Not the doctors, not your agent, not your family, because I never called them. Nobody knows you're here. And you better hope nothing happens to me. Because if I die, you die.